I want you to take your Bible. We're going to go to the book of Habakkuk, a book that perhaps you've never heard a message from, perhaps a book you've not studied much, but the book of Habakkuk, and I want to call your attention to chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is what Habakkuk said. He said, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." We've all probably felt like that. We're crying out to the Lord, but it seems like heavens is brass. Seems like nobody's listening. And then Habakkuk said, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doeth never go forth. For the wicked doeth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about how do you look at the storm. How do you look at the storm? I love athletics. I love all different types of sports. I especially love college football. I truly believe that this year is the year of the Tennessee Vols. I love college football. And last year, there was a team that won the national championship. It was the Clemson Tigers. The Clemson Tigers beat the Alabama Crimson Tide for the national championship. And then, there's a fan out there, they had a celebration. And there was a coach by the name of Dabo Sweeney. Dabo Sweeney literally held up that national championship trophy. And you know, to look at that, you'd think, wow, that guy's got it made. But you know, right the opposite could be true. He had a difficult upbringing, a very difficult upbringing. His dad was actually an alcoholic. And because of the alcohol, violence was in the home. Dabo Sweeney, the national championship coach, who's a devout Christian, said there would be so much violence and so much abuse and so much chaos in our home, I would literally go out at night and just sleep in one of the vehicles because everything that was going on in our home, I didn't want to be a part of it. Because of my dad's alcoholism, Dabo said we literally lost everything. We lost everything financially because literally the alcohol controlled Daddy and it took all of his finances. It literally destroyed our home. And my mom and dad divorced and it wasn't real good. And Dabo said, you know, the only thing I really had going for me, I was pretty good at athletics. He said, I wasn't great. I was just pretty good. You know, it's amazing, folks, when I see men and they remember how they used to be when they played. They always remember themselves as great. And most of them weren't even pretty good. Amen. But Dabo said, I wasn't great. I was mediocre. But he said, I started thinking about something. He said, there's five people on the floor during basketball. He said, there's nine people who get to play on the field during baseball. But he said, on every team, there is 11 that get to be on the field during football. And he said, I thought, I'm going to try for football because my odds are better. So as a walk-on, he tried out for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He made the team. Later got a scholarship. But he said, I went to school, and he said, we had nothing. We were very, very poor. My dad was basically a drunk. I go to school. And he said, Mom doesn't have anywhere to go. So he said, when I go to school, Mom goes to school with me. And literally, she sleeps in the bed with me for 3 years because Mom didn't have anywhere to go. He said, we had a very, very difficult life. But eventually, with Alabama Crimson Tide, he was a part of the national championship team. Eventually, he got the coach at Clemson and won the national championship. But this is what Dabo Swinney said. Dabo Swinney said, God saw me through every storm. God saw me through every storm. And this is what I know about our God. He will see you through every storm. See, there's some scriptures in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And look what the Bible says. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Notice, folks, it doesn't say if the winds blow. It doesn't say if the floods come. It doesn't say if the rains descend. It says when. And here's what I know about every one of us. The wind's going to blow. The storm's going to come. You're either in a storm, you just got out of a storm, or you're going into a storm. Because storms are a part of every life. They're a part of your life. They're a part of my life. And how we see the storm, how we look at the storm, is so important. Now today, we're going to study the book of Habakkuk. Not tobacco, but Habakkuk. We're going to study the book of Habakkuk. Now, most books in the Bible was literally written to people. It would be like Paul would write a book to a church, hypothetically, the church at Ephesus. Or it could be Paul writing a book to a son in the Lord, Timothy. They were either written to an individual person or they were written to a body of people. That's how the 66 books of the Bible were written. But I want you to understand something. Habakkuk is a book like no other book, because Habakkuk is literally a book that was written to God. Habakkuk is a conversation between a prophet by the name of Habakkuk and Almighty God. And Habakkuk encountered a great storm. And there's three primary things I want you to see. The first thing is this. Looking at our storm can bring confusion. Looking at our storm can bring confusion. It kind of reminds me of the story of the colonel and the sergeant. The sergeant was over a platoon of soldiers, of privates. And the colonel periodically would come around and he would examine the troop. But the sergeant knew that the colonel could be a tough man. And so the sergeant was getting his men ready. He had one man in his troop that was bigger than all the other men. His name was Billy Bob Hicks. He was big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it. I mean, he was a big boy. And he knew, because Billy Bob was bigger than the other men, that the colonel was subject to pull him out. And he said to Billy Bob, he's going to ask you three questions. Question number one, he's going to say, how old are you? He said, you say 20. Question number two, he's going to ask you, how many years have you served? You simply say 2. Question number three is, who do you root for, Army or Navy? And he said, you've got to understand, the colonel's got a son in the Army and a daughter in the Navy. So when he says, who do you root for, you say both. He said, Billy Bob, all you got to remember is 20, 2, and both. The colonel comes. He pulls old Billy Bob out, sure as everything. But the colonel mixes the questions up. And the colonel says to Billy Bob, how many years have you served? Billy Bob said 20. The colonel says, "How old are you?" Billy Bob says, "I'm 2. The colonel says, "What do you take me for, stupid or a buffoon?" Billy Bob said, "Both." Now, you've got to understand something. Billy Bob was confused. And when we look at our storm, it can bring confusion. You've got to understand, there was a lot going on in Judah. If you look at verses 1 through 4, Habakkuk said, "God, I want to ask you something. Why do evil people succeed? God, I want to ask you something. Why doesn't justice prevail? Why do all the injustices take place? Why does it seem like life's not fair? Why, God?" Habakkuk was saying, "Why do babies get sick?" This week, I go to Eggleston Hospital, not to visit one, but to visit two babies. Two babies that were critically, critically sick. I'm inside praying over babies that are critically sick in a hospital. And while I'm inside, people are robbing my vehicle outside. Why do injustices take place? Why do good people get murdered? Why does starvation, famine, rape, cancer? Why are women abandoned? Why does affairs and things like that take place? This is what I know, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to me very closely. If you just focus on your storm, you'll be confused. Because looking at your storm can bring confusion. You say, "Well, Pastor, why doesn't God eradicate the evil? Why doesn't God eradicate all the evil out of our world? If God's all good and God's all powerful, literally, why doesn't he just eradicate evil?" Well, think about this. If I told you tonight at 12 o'clock, there'd be no more evil in this world, you'd say, "That'd be great." But the only problem is, at 12:05, there wouldn't be a one of us here. If he eradicated all evil at 12 o'clock tonight, at 12:05, there wouldn't be a one of us here. Because Psalms 103, verse 10 says, "He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." See, folks, many times we want to blame God. But you've got to understand, God didn't create evil. God created Lucifer, the angel of worship, to lead worship. And Lucifer rebelled and became Satan. And he is the originator of evil and not God. You say, "Well, Pastor, why doesn't God do something?" I want to report to you, he did do something. He sent his son to the cross to die for the evil of this world. And if all we do is look at our storm, if all we do is stay focused on our circumstances, if all we do is stay focused on our storm, it can bring confusion. Because Habakkuk was confused and he said, "God, I don't understand." Let me tell you something else. Looking through your storm can bring confidence. Looking through your storm can bring confidence. You say, "Pastor, how can I have confidence in the storm?" Well, you've got to have the right perspective. You've got to have the right perspective. A little boy comes home from school and he said, "Dad, I made 100. He said, "Oh, son, that's good." He said, "Yeah, I made 50 in math, 30 in science, and 20 in English." See, if you read Habakkuk 2 and 1, in Habakkuk 2 and 1, God said to Habakkuk, go up into the tower. In biblical times, it was not uncommon for them to have a tower. They'd have a tower, and you'd go up in that tower, and you'd see things from a different perspective. You could see the enemy if the enemy was coming. See, folks, many times we see things only with our perspective. But God's saying there's a different perspective. There's my perspective. We many times just see things from our point of view rather than God's point of view. A little boy goes to school and he said, grandmother came to visit. And the teacher said, where does grandmother live? Where is she from? He said, she lives at the airport. The teacher said, what do you mean she lives at the airport? He said, that's where we pick her up. That's where we take her back. She lives at the airport. And see, folks, many times we just see things from our perspective. But Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know all things, that's comprehensive, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But don't stop there. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. What God say? God said, you've got to see it from my perspective. And because what I'm doing in your life, I'm taking the good, I'm taking the bad, I'm taking the ugly, and I'm conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Barbara recently went home. Her uncle died. And people saw Barbara that hadn't seen Barbara in 25 or 30 years. And you know what they said? Barbara, you're looking more like your mama every day. You're looking more like your mother. Folks, that's the plan of God. The plan of God is for every one of us to look more and more like Jesus, to act more and more like Jesus, to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. See, how can you look through the storm with confidence? You got to have the right perspective. But let me tell you something else. You got to have patience. Now, if you look at chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, God said to Habakkuk, I'm going to give you a vision. I'm giving you a vision. And it's going to come to pass, but it's for appointed time. And then he said, Habakkuk, the vision's going to take place, but you've got to wait. See, folks, the way you see through the storm with confidence, you've got to have the right perspective, but you've got to have patience. You know, many times we talk about the patience of Job. The patience of Job, a man who lost his health, a man who lost his finances, a man who literally lost his family. Here's what I know. You want to know where you are spiritually? You want to know where I am spiritually? You want to know where we're at? Watch how we respond when we lose things. You know, watch how we respond when we lose things that are valuable. Watch how we respond. Job lost everything and he said this, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. Job said, when I've tried like through fire, I'll come forth as gold. See, how can you see through the storm with confidence? You got to have the right perspective. You got to have patience. But there's a third thing. Got to understand the promise. Look what he said in verse 3. He said, the vision's going to take place. Though it tarry, he said, wait for it, because it will surely come. Here's what I want you to see, folks. We don't live our lives based on explanations. You see, if I could just get with Pastor Benny, he could explain what's going on in my life. No, no, no. You don't want to get with Pastor Benny and let him explain what's going on in your life. Because we don't live our lives based on explanations. We live our lives based on the promises of God. We live our lives based on the promises of God. How you see through a storm with confidence? You got to see God's perspective. God, what are you doing? You got to have patience to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. You got to claim the promises of God. But then there's participation. Participation. Look what verse 4 says. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not right, upright in him. For the just shall live by his faith. Now, how many times, folks, have we said this? The just shall live by faith. But that's not what it says. It says the just shall live by his faith. And I researched it in the Hebrew. And it says the just shall live by his faithfulness. By his faithfulness. The way we get through is not necessarily our faith, but it's our faith in his faithfulness. Our faith in his faithfulness. R.T. Kendall was and is an American who went to London to pastor Westminster Chapel. He said, as Americans, when we moved there, my son, R.A., was scared to death about going to the new school. He cried. He was terrified. But he said, the first day I took him to school, I said, R.A., here's what I want you to understand. All day today, when you get scared, you just remember, Daddy's praying. Because I'm going to pray for you all day long. And every time that little boy would get scared, he would be reminded, my daddy's praying. He got through it because of daddy's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have need, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. There's one other point. How can we have confidence through the storm? Perception. Perception. You know what's interesting? Habakkuk's having a conversation with God. And Habakkuk says, God, why don't you judge the sins of Judah? And God says, Habakkuk, the Babylonians are going to overtake Judah. And I'm going to punish Judah through the Babylonians. And Habakkuk said, well, how can sinful people judge sinful people? And God said, Habakkuk, I'm going to punish the Babylonians too. But he said, Habakkuk, I just want to remind you something. In chapter 2, verse 20. The Lord is in his holy temple. And folks, I want to just remind you of something in the middle of your storm. God's still on the throne. God's still in control. No matter what happens, God's in control and God's in charge. There's one other thing I want you to see. Looking beyond the storm brings comfort. Looking beyond the storm brings comfort. God said, Habakkuk, I want to remind you something. In chapter 3, verse 8, when Moses got to the Red Sea, I brought him through. He said, Habakkuk, I want to remind you of something. In verse 11, When Joshua was in the middle of the battle, I made the sun and the moon stand still. And he said, Habakkuk, you started out this conversation. Why this? Why that? Why me? But this book is only 3 chapters. And Habakkuk started out asking a whole lot of whys. But when he gets to the end of the book, he's a different man. Because this is what Habakkuk said. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon high places, to the chief singer all my string instruments. He said, I have decided I'm going on with Jesus. I'm not going to let my flesh stop me. I'm not going to let my family stop me. I'm not going to let my finances stop me. I'm going to let not let my foes stop me. I'm not going to let my frustration stop me. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. I told the 8:30 service, I wish I could sing. I wish I could. Even as I get older, sometimes I sing and I say, Barbara, is it getting some better? She says, no. No, I stand over here sometimes on the praise team and I notice the praise team members moving away when I sing. But I'd love to be able to sing. I'd love to. Because if I could sing, I'd end this service by singing this song. This is what I'd sing. I'd say, when I first began to walk with the Lord, 36 years ago, when I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust him. How he longed for me to understand that I could. So through valleys he led me, afraid as I could be, until I felt his loving arms embracing me. And I wonder this, how could I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? How could I ever question his ability? There's no place that I can go where he doesn't know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. After 36 years of more downs than up, of more failures than success, of more weaknesses than strength. But this is the conclusion I've come to. I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. He's come through so many times, and that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life that he's going to take care of me, because I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for you and me. Can we praise him? How do you look? look at the storm, if you stay focused on that storm, you'll just be confused. But oh, friend, you can have confidence if you look at that storm properly. And you can get on the other side and have comfort, because God brought me through. God brought me through. God brought me through. He'll bring you through too.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.